Welcome to episode 33 of the Worship Drummer Podcast. This is John Manna, your host. You are a part of a global group of Christian drummers who are continually striving to put the heart before beat. Why? Because we believe that worship is about the work of your hands and heart. Follow along online at worshipdrummer.com or you can always hit me up on Instagram at worshipdrummer. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this episode. Well, what is up, Worship Drummer fam? I hope that you're keeping well. We're in February right now, about to wrap up another month of what's been a crazy year, or a start to the year, I should say. Listen, I'm so excited for this episode. For two reasons. One, we have a great guest in Zach Mullings. He's a drummer for Hillsong NYC, and we're gonna have a lot of stuff linked in the show notes for you to check out. Lots of video clips and some other fun, exciting stuff. The second thing, and that's what I'm trying to avoid saying, but I'll just go into it, is we have a massive, big announcement that we're going to be sharing towards the end of this episode. So I highly encourage you to listen through as the anticipation builds, and we're going to enjoy the announcement together. So this is episode 33. So if you want the show notes, you can head to our website, worshipdrummer.com/033 for episode 33. And again, stick around because we have an awesome announcement I'm so stoked to share with you. It's been in the making and now we let the cat out of the bag. So this is my conversation with Zach Mullings and stay tuned for a great announcement. Well, I just want to say what's up to our Worship Drummer fam. This is episode 33 of the podcast. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you see that we have our guest with us. His name is Zach Mullings. And Zach, I just want to say a big welcome to the Worship Drummer podcast.
Oh my gosh, John, I have been listening to this podcast for quite a few years now. And it is an honor to just get to talk to you, you know, just get to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
Amazing, man. I'm excited for the episode that we have. We kind of were just chatting before we hit record, and really looking forward to like learning more. Like we've talked a number of times by now, but even to get into your upbringing, but even after that, you have some cool tour stories about some late night shows you've played on with the band, and you were the MD, I think, as well in that process. Yeah. So yes. I want to get to that. But before we get to that, by the way, Zach also drums for Hillsong NYC or East Coast. I don't know. Which one do you guys go by now?
Oh, man, it's kind of crazy. I think because of the pandemic, I think we're going by East Coast right now. We're just all one community, Connecticut, Boston, New York, New Jersey. We're kind of all together now.
So, and I've watched a couple of your services, seen you play. So we will probably post, maybe give us your favorite service, a link on YouTube. Yeah. We'll put it in the show notes, and not so you could be like, oh, he's a good drummer, which I know you are. But more so you could be inspired, you could be encouraged, and believe it or not, you could even worship. Right? That's the heart behind everything that we do. It has to be that. So we'll link to that in the show notes. But Zach, why don't you just tell us about your upbringing? Where did you grow up? What was home like for you? Was it always like home and church and school? Like, was God a part of your life? And I'll give you the reins to take it wherever you want to go.
No. So yeah, from the beginning, it's school, church, going back in between. I grew up in Englewood, New Jersey, which is not too far from the big city in New York. And from the jump, I grew up in Jersey, and then I actually went to church in East New York, which is in Brooklyn. And it was a Pentecostal church where we would play a lot of gospel music. So it was a lot of Fred Hammond. There's a lot of Kirk Franklin, a lot of Donnie McClurkin, Yolanda Adams, a lot of the 90s urban contemporary music, gospel music. So it was such an interesting time getting to grow up in that kind of environment. So I wasn't the main drummer. I was just a kid. But I would grow up watching the drummer who played at church. His name was Dwayne Lazarus. And he was like my first hero.
Love it.
I'm sure, you know, you can relate if you ever, if anybody's listening, if you ever like grew up, you know, watching a drummer when you're 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 years old, you know, that drummer in church, that was my guy, Dwayne Lazarus. And, you know, he would show me a few things here and there and just kind of took me under his wing. And he is absolutely the best. I think he's still playing there at a Bethesda Healing Center. That's what the church is called.
Wow.
But yeah, that was my upbringing. It started in gospel music, and then I would go to youth group at a place in Jersey, and that was more on the maybe on the Christian contemporary side of things. So it was a bit more rock, a bit more like Chris Tomlin kind of stuff, you know, kind of the stuff that we talk about here at that you talk about here at Worship Drummer.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was kind of my church was always I always grew up playing and being surrounded by worship music, and you know, being surrounded by people who love Jesus and you know, musicians who love Jesus. So it was a real honor.
Wow. And I know in your church, like, there was that musical influence. Was it the same in your home, or was it just like you had an attraction and a passion to play, or what was that like?
It was the same at home. My parents, you know, raised me to you know, follow in the steps of Christ. And and even in home, you know, it wasn't just we go to church and then we're at church and we do the church thing and we go back home and we do our own thing. No, it was a lifestyle. And not just, you know, the music kind of was meant to serve, you know, the lifestyle that and the relationship that we have with Christ. You know, it was a part of it. You know, nice. It was a part of our relationship. So, it was really interesting and cool kind of getting to be led by my parents in that realm. Yeah.
No, that's really cool. And I know you studied at Berkeley. So what led you down that path to be like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life, and like, you know, to follow that dream? So what was that like? At what age did you kind of figure this out?
Yeah, it was very, very young. So kind of in tandem with being able to, you know, go to church and at a young age and watch these musicians play and watch the drummer play, that was kind of it. I was like, whatever this guy's doing, whatever Dwayne's doing, that's what I want to do wherever it was. You know, at the time it was, you know, just in church. So, you know, you kind of just, I thought you just go to church and play at church and, you know, you just do that forever. But, you know, as you get older, I think it was my mom who kind of saw that drums was everything. When I was in school, I would be drawing on papers and drawing, you know, the cymbals and drums and using my pencils to play on them. And I would get, my teachers would get annoyed and they'd be like, what are you doing? You had to stop, you know, just, I'm sure there's a lot of stories like that. But it was my parents, specifically my mom, who was like, I don't know what's going on with this kid, but he loves music so much. It seems like this is what he wants to do. Let me go and search up colleges that cater to musicians. Wow. And she Googled and found Berklee College of Music in Boston. And she was like, Zach, I remember I was 8 years old.
Wow.
I was 8 years old. And she's like, Zach, this is what you're going to do. This is it. And I was like, yeah, this is it. So it was a journey from then, from 8 years old, just kind of training to just patterning my whole life to get to Berklee and study there. So yeah, it was a long time in the making to get there. And I got there in 2010. I started attending Berklee in 2010.
Wow. You know, funny side note, so including yourself, now that makes three in a row that came through the ranks of Berklee. There was Andrew Pika. He works out.
Yes, I know Andrew. I know Andrew very well. Yeah.
So there's Andrew, Carlin McCullough. We just had him on the last episode, and now yourself. So three for three, man.
Wow.
How do you know Andrew?
Andrew and I went to this church called Reunion Christian Church. It was a plant of New Thing Network out in Naperville, Illinois. New Thing Network is, I mean, I'm actually still currently involved with them they do some conferences in Orlando, and I regularly go every year and play for them and play the conference. But yeah, Andrew and I met in Boston at Reunion Christian Church, and he was doing the sound and he was also playing drums, and we kind of got to kick it and just chat, you know, talk about music, talk about, you know, church, talk about the whole thing. He was a really great guy, really great drummer too.
Wow, that's so crazy. Who knew?
Small world. Small world.
Legit. So you go through Berkeley. You graduate, I would assume. What was your main focus, like production, performance?
So I had quite a few. So there was a major at Berkeley where you can kind of pick and choose what classes you take. And then at the end, you'd have a final project where you incorporate all of these classes and kind of show what it was that you, what you learned, what are you going to do? You know, what's, you know, kind of like professional development. That degree was called professional music. I focused on three things. I focused on performance. I focused on composition and arranging. And then the third one was, I focused on production.
Nice.
So just kind of all three of those things. And there are other classes that you had to take. You had to take a music business class as well, which looking back, I think I would have done a lot more music business because it's really important. It's important to know the ways in which, you know, kind of the how things go, you know, in your field. You know, I was really green. And in some ways, I still am kind of green, you know. So
I think we're all like that in college.
I was just like, I just want to play. I just want to, you know, play and perform, and you know. But yeah, kind of learning the back end of things is a really important thing as a musician and as a person in this whole music industry. So, but yeah, my main focuses were performance, composition, and production. Wow. And I loved it. I loved every minute.
That's so cool. So after Berkeley, how soon was that transition to like finding a band or playing? Like, what was the next step waiting for you after Berkeley?
Yeah, so I always knew that I wanted to kind of plant my roots in New York City. So after I graduated in 2014, and that same fall in 2014 is when I headed to New York City, and there were two things on my mind. Or two places that I wanted to get plugged in. The first was Hillsong New York City. I knew that
nice.
I knew that they had gotten planted there in 2011, I believe.
Wow.
And I had just been following them all throughout my you know, my college journey, and you know, just kind of seeing what was going on, and I knew I wanted to be part of it in some way or fashion. So I got plugged in there, and I didn't get to playing until like 6 months later in 2015. That's a whole other story. Maybe we'll get into that. But that was the first thing. And the second thing was...
Actually want to get back to that.
Sure, we can. We can.
Because I think there's a lot to grasp like in a season of waiting.
Yeah.
Right? So I want to come back to that. I'm going to have to put a note. But go on.
We'll talk about it. But that second thing was there was a jam session going on in the Lower East Side of New York City. It was called The Lesson. And it was kind of like a hip hop improvisational jam session where the musicians, there's a house band and they get on stage and they just improv. The whole thing is just an improvisational jam. And they would, a lot of influences like, you know, Jay Dilla influenced music, DJ Premier influenced music, a lot of the 90s East Coast to Midwest hip hop scene. That was the kind of music they would be playing. And so a lot of great musicians that I had admired came out from that jam session, and I knew I wanted to just be a part and connect with those musicians and yeah, just get plugged in there. So that actually led to a lot of great opportunities as well in New York.
What was it called again?
It was called The Lesson.
The Lesson.
And the drummer, and this is, man, the drummer, his name is Lenny Reese, Lenny the Ox Reese. That's his nickname, is the Ox, because I think he's just like a very stable very sturdy drummer. I hope he doesn't hear that, because that's probably not why he got the nickname. but he is one of my all-time favorite cats coming from New York. And I think right now he's in LA and he's doing a lot of great projects out there. But yeah, Lenny Reese, great, great, great drummer, and a good friend as well.
Nice. We'll link. I'm taking notes because we'll link to these in the show notes. Sure. So good. And so fast forward to like the more recent stuff that you've been doing. No, you know what? Before we get to that, let's talk about Hillsong and the season of waiting, right?
Oh, yes.
Like, because I think a lot of us can relate. I remember when I was backstage once with Elevation Worship, and I did this Q&A with Luke Anderson in 2018 or something like that. Yeah. Maybe it was even before that. And a lot of the questions that were coming in on Instagram or DMs or whatever was like, how do I do this? How do I tour for a band like Elevation? And oftentimes you learn in the, you know, worship environment, it's not what you think. It's not like, let me audition and I'm going to tear it up and you're going to see I'm the right guy. So let's talk from your experience, like what are some pointers you can give if some people find themselves, some drummers right now are like, have the itch and like the passion and I want to do this. And they might even have the right heart and perspective, but offer some advice or wisdom that you've learned in that season of waiting, and then tell us how it opened up then finally.
Yeah, I can tell you one thing. Community. Go to your church and be a part of what's going on there. Don't. A problem for me, this wasn't at Hillsong, thankfully. I had learned this quite a while back before that, I think at Berkeley. But friendships and community became a means to an end to get to a higher platform in music. Does that make sense? So I wanted to get to music, right? I wanted to get to playing on platform, or I wanted to get to a big stage. I wanted to do this. This was the ends. I wanted to do this. And so what happened was I started to just get connected to the right people, and so that I could get to music. And that, in my experience, and the way I try to live my life these days, is it can't be like that.
Yeah.
Because you end up using people. You end up manipulating people. You end up manipulating those friendships, and you start to lose out on really key relationships that could actually get you to a place that doesn't even involve music, but can actually do wonders for your character. Mm-hmm. It can do wonders for your soul. I mean, some of the best friends that I've made to this day from Hillsong New York City, it didn't really involve playing on platform. It involved hanging with them and just knowing more about their lives and having meals with them and enjoying time with them. So I would say, if you're trying to get involved, yeah, two things. If you're trying to get involved with that, with you know, your local church band, or trying to get involved in any church, or you know, on a that has maybe a big platform, make sure that you're excellent in your craft. Practice. That's the number one thing. And then two, know the people. Like, really, you have to have a desire to want to be connected to the people that are there. The desire, and that's something you can't fake. It's something you can't just like, you know, oh, let me get here so that I can get here, because this is what I really want. No,
right.
No.
Yeah.
Connect with the people. Connect. Community is everything for me. So that's what I can say. And I mean, that's kind of why that, you know, the 6 month period, there was, yeah, you know, I think you were alluding to, you know, me eventually getting to play on platform at Hillsong NYC, and the me just starting out there, you know, the first thing they said was, hey, why don't you come to our creative night?
Yeah.
And, you know, get involved there. And, you know, for a while it was like, you know, I still had that itch to just like get up and play, but I realized that, you know, it was more about, I mean, one of my good friends, Rachel Teo, who's one of the music directors, you know, she was a piano player, and we kind of just hit it off because, yeah, we loved the music and we loved you know, we love, you know, the worship and everything, but we just hit it off as friends because we kind of like the same type of music. Yeah. And, you know, we kind of had just a lot of great conversations, and we, and that's, it's not just with her, but a lot of other people. So I feel like I'm starting to ramble, but the point is community. Community is probably the biggest thing, before ever jumping on a platform. Mm. Know the people that you're going to be serving with and know them well. And then platform comes.
Yeah. Wow. Good word. Good lesson learned. And I'm happy that you're doing what you felt God leading you to do, or your passion aligned with your vision. So that's really cool, man. Let's talk for a bit about what you have, like the experiences you've had on the road touring. We alluded to earlier about like some late night shows that you've played, being an MD for a Grammy Award nominated band. Like that's some stuff. Tell us like those kind of opportunities. What are those experiences like being a believer? Like, are there some temptations or, you know, moments where you're invited or to, you know, just curious to know, just, this is me just, you know, being inquisitive.
Oh no, I understand. Where do I start? So as far as the temptations, like, I mean, I guess there are temptations, but you'll be surprised. A lot of musicians are really about the music, you know, at least in the circles that I've been around.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's this stereotype of, especially when you see a documentary or a movie about rock bands, you know, drinking and getting high behind the, you know, the backstage before they get on and play. And, you know, it's a rock, you know, and you go and you do all the, I mean, that exists, but I think these days, at least with the circles that I've been involved with. So, I mean, I'll tell you about some of those circles. So there are three projects. There are quite a few projects, but the main projects that I was touring with, the first one was a guy by the name of Kevin Garrett. Kevin Garrett, you mentioned he was Grammy nominated. He co-wrote a Beyonce song from her Lemonade album. Wow. So he got nominated from that. But he's an excellent songwriter. So his vibe is more on the electronic pop vibes. And so it musically, it was a lot of, you know, SPDSX work, roll, you know, a lot of electronic drums, a lot of just simple grooves, you know, just to kind of support the song.
Yeah.
That tour was, you know, we were all about the music. We were all just about putting on an excellent show and, you know, leaving the listener and the viewer with something to just take back with them. You know, that was the main thing. So I got to perform with him on the late night show, or not the late night show, the late show with Stephen Colbert. And that was super fun. The best experience ever. That was awesome. 2019 that happened, and there were actually quite a few. Man, God did a lot of great things in 2019 as far as like opportunities. It was really cool. There was a late night show with Stephen Colbert, and then and that was with Kevin Garrett. And then this other project that I'm currently involved with is a group called Arizona, and they are actually a group from New Jersey. They're not based in Arizona, but that's the title name. And the way I came about that gig was because the one of the members, Dave LeBougan, is actually a member of Hillsong Church in New York City.
Nice.
And we just there you I mean we're kind of talking about community, kind of talking about, you know, just connecting with people. Mm-hmm. Dave and I had been friends for I think 5 years, and then he was like, "Hey, man, we need a drummer for this band. Do you want to come and play?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." So that was in 2019 as well. And a lot of that's more on the that's still electronic pop, but I would say it's more on the edgier side of things. Gosh. So it's a lot more hard hitting, a lot more rock. And so we got to play a lot of festivals, a lot of. Yeah, that was another fun time. So when you're talking about any temptations, it's like, Yeah, with him, it was just like, you know, I had a you know, my brother who was, you know, also a believer in Christ. And so that was, there wasn't a lot of like, oh, should we be doing this? Should we not? It was just like, you know, this is my brother, you know, we're in this together. So those were the two opportunities that, touring, as far as touring that I got to do. Yeah. I mean, and 2019, there's a lot more. I got to play on Saturday Night Live.
What?
Yeah, that was a whole other thing. Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm not going to try not to ramble. But yeah, I got to play on Saturday Night Live with...
Can we find that clip and put it in the show notes?
I think we can.
I'll put a note here.
Yeah, so... Oh man, where do I start? So I was with this band called Third Story from 2014 to 2018. And Third Story actually... there are three singers, and they actually did a lot of backing vocals for Chance the Rapper.
Oh, wow.
So fast forward to 2019, I get a call from Chance the Rapper's music director. His name is Peter Cottontail, who on his own, he has some great music as well. And he was like, hey, we're putting together, you know, we need a few drummers for this SNL performance. Do you want to do it? And can you find those other drummers? I was like, yes, please.
Yeah.
So it was me and two other drummers, and we kind of did like this bass drum marching kind of thing. The other two drummers are Destin Johnson, who's the drummer for Amorosa, another guy actually at Hillsong, good guy, and then another drummer named Jarris Yokley. And Jarris Yokley is, he and I go back from Berkeley. He's like one of the best drummers I've ever heard in my entire life.
Wow.
He's on Instagram. You can find him. We'll talk about him later. But yeah, a lot of crazy stuff in 2019. A lot of crazy opportunities.
And, that's so cool, yeah. Man. Wow. Yeah. And you talked about like the electronic pop stuff, using the SPDSX for some of that with Kevin, I think you said, right?
Yep.
Now, fast forward, it's 2019, you said, is awesome year. And now we enter into 2020, a few months in, and we're slapped in the face. And I know New York, I think, in the very beginning was hit hard.
Horrible, yeah.
With lockdowns and whatever else. And we're here in Toronto, we're currently in lockdown right now.
Okay.
Like, that's it.
Wow.
So what, in terms of how... you guys were doing Sundays or weekend services. Like, how did the pandemic like shift all of that for you? What did you have to do to adapt? Like, what, you know, were you still all just playing full band? Was it dialed down? Cause I saw some of your videos, but I want to let you explain it.
Oh man. Yeah. So we were on lockdown. It was over. I remember it too, because I had just done a show with Arizona, the band, in Okeechobee, Florida, and it was like the best show that I had ever done with them. And it was amazing. It was incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we get back to New York City, and that's when everything starts going crazy. Like, you know, I was supposed to do a run of Broadway shows as well, like a run of theater shows, and. You know, the theater district closed down, no shows happening, restaurants closed down. It was just crazy. And then, of course, you know, at church, everything closed down as well. So, I mean, I think for 2 weeks, there was just no church, nothing happening. And then, you know, it was a decision from the executive team that we would start to do this kind of, they called it live from the living room.
Ah.
And, you know, in my apartment, I cannot play drums at all. I can't play acoustic drums. There's no chance. And I couldn't leave my apartment.
Right.
So what do? I started just like, you know, trying to figure out what to do. Thankfully, because of the great SPDS from Roland, you know, I found a few ways to, you know, incorporate some of the, you know, kind of some of the original drum parts that I play in church with more of a percussive element. So what I ended up doing was, it's funny to think about it, and we might have to go back to this believe it or not. But what I ended up doing was I had a shaker, acoustic shaker, and I would use my iPhone to pick up the iPhone shaker. And then I would line my SPD to an interface that goes into my laptop, and I would record on Ableton. And I had all of my one-shot samples, you know, my 808 kicks, my tambourines, my verbed claps, you know. And then I even had like some acoustic drum samples that I had made, or I think that I had gotten. And then I, the one thing that was not cool that I had to like figure out was a kick pedal.
Right.
You know, because with the SPDS, you don't have a kick pedal. You're just kind of, you know, if you want to do kick drum, it's like boom, boom, gotcha, boom, boom, gotcha. That's not fun.
Right.
So what I ended up doing was I got a sustain pedal, like a piano sustain pedal, and I just hooked it up to, I think it's like an FX controller on the back of the SPD. And I was able to have a kick drum down there. So that freed me up to do a lot more. It was really, oh man, it was kind of like a MacGyver situation.
Yeah.
Where just, you know, putting together certain things and, it was tough. But anyway, yeah, that's what we had to do for church. And, you know, our guitar player had to play from home. We all played from home. Every last one of us played from home. And then the producer, I think his name, Mike Q, put everything together in a camera slot, and you know, you see our faces on screen and on YouTube, and then you know, whoever was preaching at the time would give a word, and yeah, that's how we did it. I'm sure everybody does it differently. You have your own stories, I know that, right?
Oh yeah, but, man, it was crazy. But what I want to do too is, we'll post a link to one of those services where live from the living room, because even just like hearing the samples you were using, I was like, this is good. Like, this is so cool. Which without knowing the backstory of like, you know, how, like a little bit of scrambling to figure it all out, I think that was a lot of us, but it's I love stories like that where in the end, it just like on my end watching, I was like, oh, this guy is so good. He's got it all together.
Get out of here. did not have it together. I'll tell you that.
And so it's really cool. So at present time, like what are you guys doing on Sundays? I think the last one I saw was about a month ago. You were kind of in this almost like a warehouse room brick. It was really cool setting. But full band, right? Is that still the case?
That's still the case. We have yet to do another live performance. Not performance. Another live shoot.
Yeah.
You know, I won't get into it, but a lot of crazy things happened. So I think the team is still kind of figuring out the transition with that. You know, with the executive team. So right now, they're just replaying some of the some of our. I don't want to say performances, but some of our worship shoots, they're just replaying it with a different message. That's how we're doing it right now. It's a crazy time for sure. For everybody. And, very, very interesting time.
Yeah. Before we move from this one, like, is there any advice that you'd have for drummers in this season who, you know, everything's been changed on them? Maybe you've had a hard time adapting in this season. Maybe you're frustrated. Maybe it's like opened. Are we closing? Are we opening again? Is it full kit? Is it just an SPDSX? Or like, you know, and I know it's like hills and valleys, highs and lows, ups and downs. What's like maybe a few things for you that have helped you adapt, make it through keeping the main thing the main thing? Like, how do you just keep a positive spin on all the change?
Oh man. Yeah. I tell you what, I don't think anybody does well with the highs and lows of anything. Like, we just want some consistency, right?
Yeah.
And as drummers, we are some of the pickiest people ever. You know, we have our drum sets ready to go. You know, we have our Black Beauties 6.5x14 snare drums. You know, we have our DW 9000 pedal have our heartbeat cymbals. You know, I personally use Peisty cymbals, and I was just so psyched to get to just like, you know, play every Sunday or play on some Sundays. But, you know, that's not the case these days. And it's like, you know, one Sunday we'll do a live stream. The next it's like, we're not doing anything. And oh man, it's tough. I would say for me, just kind of what you said, keeping the main thing, you know, there's a Bible verse that kind of, you know, I'm not a preacher and I'm not a, I'm not a pastor, but there's a Bible verse that kind of helps me. It's Luke 10:38-42. And it's actually a story. It's Jesus, you know, with Mary and Martha. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Martha opened her home to Jesus, and Martha was distracted by all the preparations that she had made to kind of, you know, feed Jesus and everything. And Mary is just sitting by Jesus, listening to him. And Martha finally is fed up and says, "Lord, don't you care?" And that's the phrase right there.
Come on.
"Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Lord, help me. Don't you care? Do you not care?" It's tough. And then, Jesus says, "Martha, Martha," you know, the Lord answered, "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
Wow.
That's the end of the story. And so I think about that, and what does that mean for me? That means that, first of all, that means Jesus does care. Yes. Yeah. You know, and that he listens. And then the something else that comes up for me is that Jesus said, few things are needed, but maybe, you know, maybe one thing is needed. And I think it's just Mary chose to, you know, Mary chose his presence.
Yeah.
Mary chose his presence. So yes, there's a lot to do. Yes, there's a lot to get into. There's a lot of actions that need to be done. You know, obviously, you know, as Christians and, you know, we're all about execution. We're all about getting things done. But what about just being in the moment? What about just being here? What about just, you know, standing still and knowing?
Right.
You know, those are the things that I try to keep in mind, you know, when I'm in moments like this. And it's always not easy. You know, I'm thankful that, you know, as a Christian, God hears me when I ask him if he cares. Yeah. But that's kind of the main thing for me mentally and for my soul. That's the thing that I meditate on. And then as far as just the practicalities, you know, just trying to play as much music as I can. Maybe it's not drums. Maybe I have a guitar right here. I try and mess around with the acoustic guitar and learn a different instrument. Learning new songs, learning new things. Those are the practicalities.
Yeah.
But those are the two worlds, the practical side of learning a new instrument and then, you know, not being afraid to ask, you know, to plead with God and let all the emotions, because he can handle them.
Yeah.
And then receiving back from God in those moments. Those are the things.
That's so good, man. Thanks for sharing that. And I know that that helps a lot of people. It's encouraging to me to remember, keep the main thing. And Jesus said, "I'm not going to take it away from her." Which is a powerful statement. And he's like, "I'm going to end it right there with her." I'm also aware that you have a website, and again, all these things will be in the show notes. There's zachmullings.com.
Right.
We'll link to Zach's Instagram handle. But also talk to us about Vital Music, because I checked out some of the things you're offering, and I think it's really, really cool. But I want everyone else to get to know a bit more about what is Vital Music, what does it mean to you, and what do you hope to do through Vital Music?
Yeah, so basically Vital Music it's basically my education platform for drummers specifically. I believe that the drummer is the most powerful person in the band. I believe they're kind of like they hold all of the elements, the musical elements, you know, they hold the tempo. They have, you know, the highest pitches to the lowest pitches. you know, on their instrument. They can do the most dynamics as far as hitting hard and hitting soft, acoustically speaking.
Yeah.
You know, the textures you can use on the drums, whether it's with your hands or whether it's with your sticks or mallets, you know, there's so much available. And I think, you know, I've come across at my time at Hillsong New York City, I've come across a few drummers who don't recognize the power that they have, you know, don't recognize the capabilities they have in this instrument. And, you know, I just wanted to make a platform where I show, you know, kind of just work with drummers and provide some content that will help specifically drummers in church, you know, reach their full potential. That's what it's for. So right now I have, I actually have a worship drumming boot camp that's for sale on the site. It's on my Vital Music site, which again will be in the descriptions. But yeah, it's a worship drumming boot camp where it basically covers all the things I've learned in my past six years now. Yeah, my past 6 years at Hillsong New York City, and just kind of getting to be on that platform and experiencing some of the, you know, the best moments, and you know, where I have to be ready for a drum break, and then some of just the natural moments, which is just playing the groove, just locking in, and some spontaneous moments where it's like, oh, what are we gonna do, you know, all of that, you know. So I try to incorporate that, and then there's also a section where I cover some electronic drumming with the SPDSX, and just kind of showing how I did the live in the living room worship services. So that's all there. And yeah, it's just to equip and empower drummers specifically, and just to help them reach their full potential on the drum set. That's what Vital Music is.
I love it, man. And if you know worship drummer at all, if you're watching this, maybe you're newer, like, we're super passionate about putting heart before beat. And you know, that's why I love you, Zach. I love what you're about. And I promised that we would have a big announcement to make in this episode. Ooh. So, hey, we're all drummers here. So drum roll, please. So, big announcement. I'm super, super stoked to say that on March 9th of this year, 2021, Worship Drummer is turning 10 years old. It's our 10th birthday. And that's a big deal. But that's not the big announcement. It's a big deal, not the big announcement. I'm excited to finally announce that, in partnership right here with Zach and Vital Music, that we're going to be launching Worship Drum Samples on March the 9th of this year.
Come on. Wow. It's happening.
It's happening, bro. You know, some of you through the years, like, I think it was end of 2017 into 2018 where I actually began to have like the dream of this site launching, making samples available. Let me just share with you the genesis of where this all came out, because I think the why behind, you know, the whole project is probably the most important thing besides the launch date that I want you to capture right here now. You know, we have like a great YouTube channel, lots of videos, lots of collabs with Elevation, Planet Shakers, Hillsong, Bethel, you name it, right? And the comments kept coming in literally almost every day about, hey, where can I get these samples? Where can I find this? How can we get those sounds for the song as the drummer, you know, was playing them on his SPDSX? And I didn't get tired of the questions, but I was tired of never having a good answer for them. Right. Like, I remember on a Facebook group once, literally David Whitworth from Bethel just said, hey, who needs the samples for whatever the song was? And he said, send me your email in the comments and I'll just send you them. Like, that's how, you know, that whole, how do we deliver this? How do we get this to you? There was just no system, no mechanism. So had probably like two dozen legit conversations through the years, usually in podcasts like this. I'd share my heart for the project, to really answer, like, can we come up with a solution? And I don't want to just ramble on it, but it's been in the making. A lot of you have been like, so is it launching? Because I've been talking about this for 3 years now. And let me tell you why it's taken this long. Number one, like, I'm a busy guy. We have 3 young kids, pastoring. The pandemic slowed a whole lot of stuff down for everyone. But it was also about finding the right team to put this together with similar passion and heart behind it. So that's why this episode was important. I know even if we didn't have this big announcement, like, Zach, you're a worthy guest by all means. But I'm so much more excited that we're doing all of this together. So
yes,
like you could go back and re-listen that to the podcast. And I found out stuff I didn't really know about you, but like the Berkeley education, the production side of Zach's schooling and all of that, his, you know, the tour you had where it was like electronic pop, all SPDSX, like all of this builds to an answer to my prayer of how we can do this. And I'm super stoked. So let me just give you some details. I had to write them down just to make sure that I get them all out to you. So we're going to launch this thing on March the 9th. You can visit worshipdrumsamples.com. And there's a page. It's been up for a while. It's probably like 2 years now, because I'm telling you, it's been sitting there. And we're just waiting for the right time. So we're building out the site. Everything's going to launch March the 9th. If you head there now, you can sign up for the waiting list. And guys, we have over 500 of you already signed up.
Yes.
So that's how I know that this is an answer to a question that a lot of you have been wanting and asking. I'll say a bit more about that in a second. So because we want to serve, this is our heart. We want to serve the need that we yeah. hear and we sense. There's also a part right there on the landing page where you can request, I think it's up to 3 songs, but mm-hmm. if you have a lot more that you want to request, just like put your email and just put the request of your songs again. And it's a Google form, I think, that we have there.
Yep.
So just make sure that you do that. Why? Because we want to build something that you actually want to use and need.
Right. Yes.
So that's why you can head there right now as you're listening, worshipdrumsamples.com. We'll put the link in the show notes as well. Sign up for the waiting list and then let us know what songs you want samples for, and we're going to make them. Zach is going to be the brains behind the production and the quality of the samples. Our heart behind this, again, is we want to serve the worship drummer family and community with the highest quality samples organized so that you can find exactly what you need for the songs you're playing on Sunday. So it's not like, right. here's a random pack with some great samples, because there are amazing companies out there.
Yes,
we're friends with a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And I encourage you, support them just like we support them. At the same time, though, I want to take the guesswork out. That's what Zach and I are doing. We're going to build this. So if you have a set list coming up in a week or two, it's not going to be hard to find the songs. It'll be something like, hey, these are the songs or the samples we're using for this song or for this album. And you'll be able to find exactly what you're looking for, all at an affordable price. And so we're going to actually build out the site. You'll see the landing page closer to the launch. And we're going to do this proper. This is a passion project of mine, and I'm sure Zach's, I can speak on your behalf to say that. And listen, wherever God is going to take this, we're going to allow it to expand. And that's it. We're not putting any limits, but we're just so excited to get this off the ground. There are going to be songs. When I say songs, I'm actually saying samples. So if I interchange them, I mean samples. That we're going to release every month. So for example, there's a new album that came out in January from Passion. So the way we want to be is every month we're going to have new stuff coming out. just as you would have new songs showing up on your set list. And this is our heart. We want to serve you in a very practical way. So, Zach, I don't know if there's anything you wanted to add to this, part of the big announcement we're making.
Oh, I'm just super excited. I'm very, very excited for this, specifically because, I'm not just, as a musical director, you kind of yearn for something like this. You yearn for, sounds from the drummer. You know, if I'm playing piano and I'm MDing and there's a drummer who's playing, I was dying to get some of those samples, song specific samples, not just quality samples,
yes.
Not just great samples, not just, not stock sounds, especially not stock sounds.
Yes.
but song specific. So take, for instance, if we do a song like Real Love from Young and Free, I wanted the drummer to have those sounds ready on his SPD. The specific clap that's on there, and with the specific shaker, with the specific kick drum, and just kind of having kind of like an average of of the sound that is on the album.
Yeah.
And it makes a world of difference when you have those things. It makes a world of difference. So I'm just excited that we're gonna be able to put them out. I think the ones we'll focus on are obviously the suggestions that we have on the website. Yeah. And then it's going to be the Passion album, and Hillsong United just put out a Live from Madison Square Garden album that we're going to be all over. We want to try and get those, we want to get them as close to the original sounds as possible. We're not going to, the songs belong to these guys. They're their songs, but we want to honor their songs by having sounds that are close to replicating those songs. So yeah, I'm excited.
Heck yes. And the more I've been getting to know Zach and his passion for samples, just listen to the Hillsong stuff that you guys have been doing, that stuff that you've created, right?
Yes, it is.
You've curated, you've put it together. And so you can get a taste of what's to come. And that's why we'll have some of the links in the show notes to especially the living room ones where it's just SPDSX, to give you a taste. So that's the big announcement. We are turning 10, but Worship Drum Samples is the baby's finally being birthed, and we couldn't be more stoked about it. So it's a partnership between Worship Drummer and Vital Music, which is Zach. And we're going to be putting heart and soul into this, to serve you the best that we can. And I know it's going to be epic. There's nothing like it, to my knowledge, that's out there that's going to serve you the samples you're looking for quite this way. So with all that being said, I think we're good to wrap up this episode. Listen, we're going to put links to Zach, to your Instagram, to your site, to Vital Music, Worship Drum Samples, everything we've talked about in this episode. So it's going to be chock full. Make sure you check the show notes and the website address. For those of you who just want to type it in, you don't want to find a link or whatever, it's worshipdrummer.com/033 for episode 33. So again, worshipdrummer.com/033. So with that being said, Zach, it's been an honor to have you on the podcast. It's been a blessing to be able to make this announcement together, as we have a heart to serve our Worship Drummer family. So we love you guys, and have a blessed, blessed rest of your day.
Thanks, John. Have a good one, everybody.
Well, so there you have it. My conversation with Zach. And if you listen this far, now you know that he's more than just a podcast guest. But in fact, we're going to be working together for Worship Drum Samples. And man, I'm so, so, so excited. Not only that we're celebrating 10 years, man. I've said it from the very beginning that Worship Drummer wasn't going to be just, a sprint, something that was here today, gone tomorrow. But my outlook on it was always a marathon. We want to be here for the long haul. And I couldn't be more excited for this announcement today. So again, two call to actions. You could check out the show notes at worshipdrummer.com/033 for episode 33, Or now you can also sign up for the waiting list on worshipdrumsamples.com as well. If you have specific songs that you guys play in your church that you're like, man, I wish I had the samples for, chances are we are already working on it and they're already ready for launch day. But if you never know, so just head to the website, make sure that you let us know what you're looking for, and we'll be sure that this is something we do not just for the launch, but like seriously, any song that comes up, if we don't make it, if it's not available, let us know. We're going to make sure that it's there for you. And woo, can't believe it. Hey, listen, this has been fun. It's been something that I've been tired of keeping a secret. So I'm so stoked that it's out in the open. If you have any ideas, just shoot me a DM on Instagram at Worship Drummer. Love to hear from you. Love to hear what maybe you're expecting from Worship Drum Samples. And we're going to make it happen because we're here to serve. All right. That's it from my end. I'm John Manna. This is the Worship Drummer Podcast. And always remember, keep putting the heart before beat.